Brevard County, thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, where it is our desire to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. And we want to thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast today right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. So if you do not get to listen at your normally scheduled time, let me tell you, it's available 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE 91.5 FM, 1510 AM. You can catch us at 10:30 of a morning for a rebroadcast there. But whatever time you listen, we pray that it will be a blessing to you. If you have a TuneIn app, you can actually catch the broadcast anywhere you travel. If you have a smartphone, you can download that TuneIn app and adjust the time zone accordingly and log on and listen. If that's not an option, you can always log on to WMIEFM.com, and they have a listen live feature there, as well as you can listen on demand once the program is uploaded after it's broadcast. So there's lots of different ways that you can listen to the program, and if none of those work, we invite you to come and visit with us in person. 165 North Grove Street. We are seeing our attendance slowly return back to normal as we are continuing to social distance. There are some people that wear masks, some that don't, but we have 6 feet of space in between all of our different family units, and we have been very blessed with God's protection during this season. All of our saints are still alive and well, and we are praying for them. We're believing for miracles to take place in the coming year. So I do want to let you know about something that is coming up, and that is we're going to start having a prayer meeting on Sunday nights, 6:30, I believe it is. It might be 6 o'clock. I'll have to double-check with myself when I get back to the office. I forget what I told the office manager on that. But we're going to get together, and it's going to be strictly prayer. It's not going to be a social hour or a call together. It's, you know, we're going to be coming together. We're going to be praying. We're going to be praying for our country. We're going to be praying that God would draw us back to Him. We're going to focus on what we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 6, and that is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. So we haven't quite got to that part of it yet. We're still looking at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 32. I'll turn back there and read that to you, where it says, "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So right now we're looking at what are some of the people that, or some of the things that unbelievers are looking for. What is it they are demanding? What are they searching intently for? What is it that they crave? It's where their desires are. And so our desires reveal a great deal about where we are in our relationship with God. So we're looking at some of the things that unbelievers long for. And so we're going to go to John chapter 7 today. And verse number 1 says this, "After these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him." Now, sought there could mean past tense, but it actually describes their heart that was in a current tense. And we'll deal with that a little bit more at a later time. "Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to Him, 'Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, 'My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You will go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come.' When he said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast. and said, "Where is he?" And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good. Others said, "No, on the contrary, he deceives the people." However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How does this man know letters, having never studied?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" Then the people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Now some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." So we see that hostility towards Jesus has already arisen. There were people who were afraid they were going to lose their position, and so they thought that it was best for Jesus to die than for them to lose their influence. But Jesus' time had not yet come. And his brothers were actually not convinced. It says here in verse number 5, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." And so if you were to read in the scriptures, there are some that don't believe that Jesus had half-brothers. They don't believe that Mary had any more children. But the scripture pretty much makes it clear that Mary did have other children. So Jude was one of Jesus' siblings, as was James. And so here at this point in time, though, they had not yet put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not believe he was anything more than what they were. But they make an interesting statement. And they say this, "For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly." And therein we get the heart that we're looking for, that identifies a Gentile heart versus a believer's heart. A believer has no problem doing something and it being done in secret. But a person who is wanting to be known, who has an aspiration to make make a name for themselves, they want to be doing things publicly so that people will give them all sorts of accolades. You know, if you go back to the Tower of Babel, You will find some interesting things there. First of all, you will find that there is power in unity and power in speaking the same language and having the same goal. All of that is very effective. You can, you know, God said nothing that they set their, well, let me just read Genesis chapter 11 to you, so you can hear what God had to say about the situation. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens.'" Listen to this. This is why we're here. "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." So they describe what their goal was, and that was they wanted to build for themselves a city, a place where they could all congregate together. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, God had told them to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. The goal that they had was a goal that was contrary to the word of God. It was contrary to the mandate that God had. It was a blessing that he had blessed them with, that they were going to be fruitful and multiply. And I will tell you that you want to build yourselves up on your most holy faith much more than you want to build anything for yourself. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So they were looking to live under their own name. They were looking to create notoriety for their own selves. And God took notice. It said, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Okay? So in the midst of all of this negative, all of a sudden we see a positive here, that if we as a group of believers would come together not to do something for our own name, but we would do something for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, if we could all have the same goal, the same purpose, that nothing would be impossible. God would not be scattering us because of ungodly goals, but instead he would be gathering us so that we could accomplish godly goals. God's response was, come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth. The very thing that they were looking for not to happen happened because they had decided to do something for their own name instead of living in obedience to what God had said. So let me ask you this. How important is it for you to be famous? How important is it for you to receive accolades from other people? I'm not saying if they give them that that's a bad thing, but it cannot be our motive. If acclaim from other individuals or from other groups is all that we are seeking after, Jesus says, then that's all the reward that you are going to get. It doesn't matter if what you do is noble or extremely noble. There isn't going to be any supplemental reward coming from God. So I tell the story about there's a little girl in the Bible that is one of my favorite individuals, and I can't tell you her name because her name isn't recorded. You see, it was a little girl who was carried off as a prisoner of war, and she ended up in the household of Naaman the leper, who was a very influential person in the military. But he had leprosy, and it was a hindrance to his life. And this little bondservant of a girl did not allow herself to live in feeling sorry for herself or live in bitterness, but she looked at Naaman, this person who was her master, and she felt compassion for him and said, you know what? The God that I grew up believing in and knowing and serving, he could do something amazing in your life. He could heal you of that leprosy. Well, I tell you what, hope is a powerful thing. You see, no one had been healed of leprosy up till that point in time. And so if you have someone in a hopeless situation and then suddenly hope arises, that there's an expectation that something might happen, well, he was going to explore that course. And so he goes to his king, and the king writes letters to the king of Israel, and he says, I'm sending this servant of mine to you so that you can heal him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel received the letter, and he said, he's trying to pick a fight with me. He's sending me a man in a hopeless situation and expects me to change and do something that has never been done. Well, why would he be doing that? Well, it was because of a nameless, anonymous little girl who spoke faith into an unbeliever's life. And you know what? You can find people who will know about Naaman's miracle. You can read about the king of Israel. You can read about Elisha the prophet and his servant Gehazi. You can read about all of that, but the one thing that you don't know is the name of the young lady who started it all. But God knows. But God knows. So back to John chapter 7, the brother said, no one does anything secretly when their ultimate goal is to long for intensely and search for it intensely to be known openly. You know, there was a survey that was done some years ago, and it was high schoolers, and many of the high schoolers had their goal simply as this: to be famous. Their goal was to be famous. And so now you have all sorts of different things. I never knew that this was a job title before, but it's called an influencer. An influencer. So there are people who try and congregate these mass amounts of social media followers, and their goal is simply to be famous and influence what all of these followers have to do. Can I tell you, you need to be careful about who does the influencing in your life. And I will tell you, if you look around, you will find many of the people that you and I would deem famous, that can actually be a trap. It can actually be something that leads to misery and a great deal of heartache. See, our goal is not to be famous. Our goal is to make Jesus known. Okay? I've seen a lot of people who became famous at a great cost. You think, what in the world? If you're famous, then you get all this free stuff and you get all this notoriety and all of that sort of stuff. But it always has a price tag. And so Jesus, the most pivotal person in human history, changed the spiritual condition of the entire world. He says, you know, I'm looking to do things. He actually healed a blind man and said, don't tell anybody what I did. And unfortunately, the blind guy went out and told what Jesus did, and all of a sudden, instead of Jesus being able to operate secretly in that community, people were seeking him out, and Jesus had to go someplace else because he wasn't here to be famous. He was here to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he was here to do. So it goes on, and Jesus says, look, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to this test. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. A person who is not concerned about fame isn't concerned about waiting. They are much more consumed with God's timeline. And so he remained in Galilee. They went on to the feast, and then he went up to the feast, but not openly. He wasn't going there to make himself known. He went there in secret. But you know what was interesting about that particular feast? It says in verse number 11, then the Jews sought him at that feast and said, where is he? Where is he? For you and I, we're not just seeking the presence of Jesus or the awareness of Jesus so that we can be in proximity to him, but we're seeking him because we know that he is the ultimate fulfillment of all of those feasts. The Jewish celebrations, Jesus was the centerpiece of all of those things. They just were unaware of it. They said, where is he? And I want to ask you today, where is he in my life? Or are we getting up and are we trying to suppress him rather than make him known? I don't want to be suppressing him. I don't want to be seeking my own popularity, my own fame. That's not what I'm here to do. You know, as much as I love engaging with people in the community, I would much rather have people coming to Jesus and faith in Jesus. I'm looking for the kingdom of God to grow. And so after 28 years and pouring into the community the way that we have, the odds are that we're never going to be one of those famous, cool churches or anything like that where people are just flocking to. But I tell you what, if there continue to be broken and hurting people who are looking for Jesus, then I want to continue to pastor a church that might not be famous, but can exhibit the presence of Jesus so that people will be touched in their time of need. Okay? Where is Jesus? Don't suppress him in your life. Don't try and live as an undercover Christian. Instead, I want to encourage you to make him known. Okay? So there was some debate that was going on, and they said, isn't this the one that they are seeking to kill? Okay. That's in verse number 25. Is this not he whom they seek to kill? A Gentile mindset is not looking for Jesus to live in vibrancy. An enemy of Christ is not looking for Jesus to live vibrantly. They are looking to eliminate him from their life as much as possible. Now, I will tell you, he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He was before you existed. He is present right now, and he's going to endure for all of eternity. You are never, ever going to be able to eliminate the sovereignty of God and the presence of Jesus from your life. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. It is a futile exercise, but there are some people who are determined to remove Jesus from their life. It's one thing if they wanted to remove him from their life, but many times they want to remove him off of the stage entirely because, as Jesus said, they hate him. Why did they hate him? He said, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Now, I will tell you, if you want to see a dynamic change very quickly, you just start proclaiming the truth of God's word, that whatever God says is good, in spite of whether the world says it's bad or not, and you start calling evil the things that the word of God calls evil, whether the world says that's good or not. So we have to maintain biblical perspective. And whenever you start proclaiming the truth, I will tell you what, it's not going to make you popular, because we live in a world of darkness. Absolute darkness. We live in a world of confusion and absolute spiritual deception. I didn't think that society could deteriorate too much more, but over the past couple of years, we've gone from endorsing abortion to now where people are even proclaiming that you could eliminate a baby in a third trimester, or the baby could even be born and you could take its life after it was born. That's a whole new level of evil. That is murder. And yet some people still think, well, that's okay. God's really not all that upset about that. Listen, one of the reasons that the 10 northern tribes went into captivity was because they caused their children to pass through the fires of Molech. They sacrificed the inconveniences of children. And they did it in an act of worship, and they thought that God was okay with it. I tell you, God's never okay. God's never okay with murder. I want to encourage you today that if you are seeking Jesus, seek to have him thrive in your life. Don't seek to eliminate him. And I want to encourage you, seek to make Jesus known instead of seeking to make your own self known. It's a much better way to live, much more fulfilling. God bless you. You have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Christ, have mercy on